praise team had planned it that way, but the songs that they sung, How Great Thou Art. Don't feel no ways tired. Then that last one, Order My Steps. All of those songs, don't you know that's exactly how God wants us to walk and treat Him? I have something I'm going to do a little differently today. I'm just going by what the Spirit of the Lord said. I don't know how I'm going to deliver it, but I'm going to start off with, He says, talk about what's happening today. We have part of the country on fire. Other part is underwater, flooded. We have people getting tossed out of their homes because they can't afford the rent. Some have nowhere to go. People don't know whether they're going to spend their last dime on medicine or food. People are killing people for no reason. Or they think they have a reason, but no one is worth killing. It used to happen in other states like Chicago and other big places that's known for a lot of crime, but it's right here in our back door. Think about what that does to your mind. But you know, out of all that, through God, we are still victorious. Amen. I'm going to do something different here. Well, that first one was different. But after service is over, this is how it's going to end. Today, I'm going to talk about your eternal perspective. God wants to encourage us, to equip us, you and me, how to live the rest of our life victoriously, regardless of what the world kicks at us.
Amen.
He wants all of us to enter heaven with a celebration and not with a whole series of regrets. He says, I want us to enter glory with hands raised up, because at this point in our lives, we got it all together. We started walking with God at a whole nother level. We started experiencing power. We started doing His will, fulfilling His purpose, and engaging His priorities. And as a result, we saw His presence. His power. And as a result, His handiwork moved our lives in different proportions of our existence in a marvelous way. God is good, saints. He is worthy to be praised. He's going to let us in like that? Not yet. I'm going to speak today of how to have a life down here that will matter up there. Because the perspective of your transformed life and my life down here, that's why we all need an eternal perspective. And as a topic, I have the need for an eternal perspective. Amen. See, we have to understand that when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we became new creatures in Christ. Yeah. Another kind of creature. A new creature. Uh-huh. Yet at the very same time, we often are not living up to the newness. And unfortunately, find ourselves many times living opposite to the uniqueness that God has for us. Paul is writing to the Colossian church. He addresses this reality. He says, stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. I may take a minute to get there, but I'm going. See how an eternal perspective can be transforming. You have your Bibles. Turn them to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, he says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Yes. See, many are suffering from what I call disease of spiritual Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is where the mind or brain can no longer formulate accurately thoughts, words, ideas, in order for the life to move as it ought to move. This dysfunction and death of brain cells produces inactivity within the life. The body can't do what the body is meant to do because something has gone wrong in the head. See, Paul makes it clear that your victory in life is tied to your mind. It is the shift of your mind that will determine the redirection of your life and my life. Whatever is in your life that ought not to be there, that's wrong, is not starting with what you do. It's starting with how you thought about it. And that's why there is so much in Scripture about the redirection of the mind and the need for the mind to be reprogrammed. I mentioned those songs that they sung this morning. I don't know if it was programmed for them to sing it that way or not, but they touched me hard. Because I'm dealing with something I never preached on before. Reprogramming our mind. And it's very true. Our minds need to be reprogrammed. The Bible declares that when you and I accepted Jesus Christ, we got the mind of Christ. But often plug old CDs into a new mind. So we are playing old programming that works against the transformation that God is after in our life. He says that when you and I became Christians, we became identified with Jesus Christ. He says that we are raised up with him. We are seated with him. We died with him. And our lives are hidden in him. That Jesus Christ, his resurrection, is to produce the new point of reference for your life and my life. And if we lose sight of that new point of reference, we may function in terms of our old life, not in terms of our new life. Come on, Pastor. So first of all, we need to understand mentally that a hookup has occurred. When we gave our life to Christ, he already hooked up. Uh-huh. We hooked up now. We've been plugged in. All right. then what the process of getting this ignition turned on in our head so that it moves through the rest of me and how I function in my Christian experience, he says in verse 2, he says, this is a key verse. He says, set your mind. Set your mind on things where? Above. It must be an intentional plan setting. You are to set the mind. Set the mind is to set on a specific thing, on things above. So you are to intentionally think heavenly thoughts. You are to think with heavenly perspective. But he does not mean you are dissociated with earth. The whole point is to think while on earth with heavenly viewpoints in mind, and to do so on purpose. That is, until you learn to do it naturally. We don't have to prompt and think ourselves and come up every morning and says, I'm thinking, my mind is set to the things of Christ. We want to know it so much that it's automatically done, naturally. So you have to set it purposely. God doesn't want to be so, want you to be so, I want us to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But he doesn't want you to be so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. He wants you to reach high and touch low, so that you live out on earth's heaven perspective in time. But to do that, he says, you've got to set your mind. You've got to say, today, I have set my mind to live my life and make my decisions from heaven's point of view. See, that's why I gave you the end of this at the beginning. Because we can be victorious. I don't care what's going on, what you say the devil throws at you, or what this earth is have us living in, what's occurring here is because of Satan's attack, his final attack, by the way. We can be victorious. And unless that has naturally been set, if you set your mind, unless it has not naturally built into your system, you got to intentionally tell yourself that on a daily basis, you must set your mind. Why? Because I no longer belongs to myself. I belong to Jesus Christ. And my life is hidden in him. I had a friend of mine who talks about peanut butter coffee. But you know, I don't drink black coffee. I don't like black coffee. And when I went to Vietnam and drank a cup of black coffee, it was confirmed. I don't like black coffee. So whenever I make coffee, when I can, Linda has different kinds of creams, but I like condensed milk. And when I put that condensed milk, it's sweeter than the regular cream. But I take a half a teaspoon, and it can be, I don't care how black the coffee is or how bitter the coffee is, to me it just smooths it over. But see, it's by being heavier, you have to stir it. Okay. You have to keep stirring it. Okay. It sticks to the spoon, so I have to keep, I keep stirring it. And I take the spoon, I stir it around and around in my cup, and until I'm not trying to get it, I'm trying to get it at the top because it'll sink to the bottom. So I stir the bottom, then because what I want is, I want that sweet coffee. And I want the last cup, the last taste, to taste just like the first taste. You know what they call it? The tutti tutti frutti. I want it from top to bottom. Yes, indeed. I want the cream that to make itself known all the way through the coffee, because I want to taste, the good taste, from the last to the last drop. Because it happened that way because I have integrated, intermingled it. I have absorbed it, to the totality blackness of that black coffee. Some Christians are satisfied to throw a little Jesus on top. Jesus is saying, no, I want you to stir me in. I want to be a part of that tutti frutti from the bottom to the top, so that from the beginning of your day to the end of your day, you are consumed with me, because your life is hidden in me. Jesus is saying, I need to be the sum total of the definition of your existence. If you want to experience the transformation that I'm offering. And so a little Jesus on top, without stirring it through the whole thing of your body, he says, when you get up in the morning, when you go to work, and you come home, and when you do this and do that, until you stir me into the totality that I need to be in. Just like your coffee of your existence, then transformation of the mind, that is the key to change in your life, will not be experienced. We have to feed our mind continuously so that we be connected with the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Every quarterback has in his ear a system designed for him to hear signals being given to him from the man upstairs in the booth, not the man, God upstairs, from the man upstairs in the booth. Because the man upstairs in the booth is seeing the whole film. He sees the whole field. He's seeing all the arrangements. And so he'll send the signal down into the receiver that the quarterback has in his ear, because he's got a bigger picture than the quarterback has. In order to steer him, the quarterback, in the way he ought to go. So the receiver is designed to pick up somebody from who's sitting high and who's talking low, in order for him to navigate through all the things that are trying to defeat him while he's on the field. It says in the text, Jesus is seated up there.
Amen.
But we're living down here. But there is a receiver that he wants to send to your mind. In other words, God will share his thoughts with you, with me. He will take his thoughts, make them your thoughts, so that you think what you thought. And when you think what you thought, you can now do what you think. Because the only reason you think it is because you thought it. And the only reason you thought it is because Jesus sent it. The only reason he sent it is because he sees everything that's going on in our lives. And when he sees trouble down the road, he has a way of sending that signal to redirect you to another path. When there's somewhere you want to go and there's trouble, he sends the message. So many times I heard it testified in here that I almost had an accident. Almost had an accident. Why? Because Jesus sent a signal. He received it in his heart. He made space to move over. And everything was all right. And so he begins to shift and shape the mind so that you, in fact, begin to think differently. Amen. Which is always the basis of how you operate. You only do what you do because you think what you think. And he says that this happens in the mind. But your life must be viewed as hidden with Christ. You know, in other words, totally be absorbed by him. Not just a point of reference where you visit now and then, but total ownership by him. Because he is seated at the right hand of God, the Father. He is going to give information from that location. So if you want heaven's information, you must be tied to heaven's location. When you're tied to heaven's location, that feeds information into your mind, which is the spiritual aspect of the brain that infuses and informs the soul. So that raises a question. Question now. The question is, then what must I do? How do I get this thing working so that I begin to change what I do because I change what I think because now I know who I am? He tells us in verse 5 of Colossians, chapter 3 of Colossians. He says, verse 5, therefore, yes, that therefore. Light of the principles that have just been taught, in light of the principles that just have been taught, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Well, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. Let me help you with a word. He says, consider. Consider means to consider. Consider means to think carefully about it. But there's a synonym that I'm going to give you. That means to fantasize. Look at it differently. Look at the physical, your earthly body, as being dead when it comes to those areas that are outside of the will of God.
That's right.
He names a bunch of them. He says immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry, in which you used to walk.
That's right. That's the word.
That's how you used to live.
That's right.
If you don't know or haven't remembered, I'm telling you, that's how you used to live. That's how you used to live. He concludes a bunch of other things in verse 8. He said, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. So he is talking about consider your body as dead when it comes to those things outside of the will of God. So you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you know you got a dirty mouth. You know that, I thought one time not to use the word, but I don't know. It's not a bad word. You thought about, and the old people used to say, you cuss like a sailor. And will cuss a person out in a minute. You know that is not the will of God. So you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, he says, fantasize that your dirty tongue is dead. Fantasize that you're dead to pornography. Fantasize that you're dead to wrath as a way of life. You say, that's not true. Everything that I name, he says, that's not true. It's not true. Everybody don't have all those things that were named. But he is telling us, but just dream. Dream about it. For a moment, he says. A lot of things aren't true that you dream about. But that don't stop you from dreaming, does it? God says, I want you to consider. I want you to think about it. I want you to operate in light, in the light of. I want you to think like you're already in heaven. That's what he is saying. I want you to fantasize as though you are already in heaven, which means that when you get up in the morning, he wants you to have a funeral service. He says, consider yourself dead, didn't he? So when you get in the morning, have a funeral service. You know, that's kind of crazy for some people. See, dead people have funerals. So you look in the mirror and say, at this aspect outside of the will of God, it's dead.
Amen.
It's dead. Now, it doesn't feel dead. It doesn't look like it's dead. No, but it's dead. You want to make sure it's dead? Have a memorial service. Just look at it for a while. If you have to create a gravestone, create a gravestone. Fantasize that grave. It's dead. You're dead. He says, I want you to think this way because now you're thinking from heaven's point of view, not earth's point of view. Because that's what God says happened when you came to Christ. You might want to take the things of killing of your life and write that thing, what is that's not of Christ in your life. You may want to write an obituary. Do whatever it takes to get that thing, make sure it's dead. It's not a part of your life anymore. Christ says it's dead. So once you get in your mind to do this, once you say, okay, I'm going to operate each day. I'm going to bring those things that are outside of the will of God, and I'm going to declare it to be dead. Even though it's still trying to jump up and down, that same old thing, I am now declaring that it's dead.
Amen.
One of the greatest tragedies, about three months ago, you know, I was flipping through the channels, and I ran across this man was talking about slaves being set free, and I looked at that for a while, and one of the greatest tragedies is that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, and even on that film that I saw, some people, even though they were free, they didn't want to leave. Some of them wanted to stay. Because they had been living there too long. That was their security. They would prefer many times the security of slavery rather than the opportunity of freedom, because they have been in it all their lives. I thought about that for a moment, and I began to, I understand, because somebody cut you free right then, where are you going? You have to think about it. But some moved on and found their way. God helped them out. Some of us have been hostage to stuff, because it's been there all our lives. You said, my mama had it, my daddy had it, my daddy was an abuser, my mother was a abuser, my mother was a drunk, my mama cussed and fussed, my daddy cussed and fussed. I've just been doing what I've always seen. I've been there doing that, and you getting ready to transfer it to your children because it's a generational curse. You got to stop somewhere, and you're getting ready to transfer it to your children because it's been there so long since that's called the plantation mentality. And Satan wants to keep you in a plantation mentality that you never get better. You're never going to be overcomer. I'll never get victory over this. That's what they be saying to themselves. I've always be defeated this way. And the worst statement of all is, this is just who I am. That is not who you are. If you become a Christian, you have died to Christ. You have been set free, even though you may not feel free. Simply because God said so. It's just you got to set the mind, he says, so that you begin to experience over time the freedom that God declares is yours. So watch this. He says in verse 8, put aside all these things, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. Because what that means is that the world is crouching in on you. Amen. Just like everything seems to be happening at the same time. The world just seems to be closing in on you. You don't know what to do. It's squeezing you. And the only thing that you have with the old life is to do what you used to do. The world is closing in against you. He says, put aside the abusive language. So he tells you to put aside the things. But he gives you another half of that. In verse 10, he says, put on the new. First he tells you to take off, put aside. Then he says in verse 10, put on the new self. Put on the new self. Put off, put on. This is in reference to changing clothes. When you take a shower, and I take a shower, we don't put on the same old dirty clothes we took off. I hope not. What good is a shower without a change of attire? Jesus Christ says, I am your shower. All right, then. He washed us whiter than snow. Right. That's right. And why did it come on from a shower like that, being washed as white as snow, and don't have the mind of Christ and put on the dirty clothes? Just don't make sense. So I want you, after considering yourself to be dead, you got to you got to start there. First, you've been washed. I want you now to take off the old clothes. That is the old way of thinking, the old way of operating, the old pattern of life. Because with the change of mind, I've given you the power to take off the old clothes. And you know you need to take off the old clothes, but you got to cover up with something else. So what he says is, when you consider yourself to be dead and you pick up the new way of thinking, the new way of operating, the new life, he says something is going to happen. And in verse 10, he also says, you will be renewed in a true knowledge. Okay, now you watch this. He will take care of changing your mind when you change your clothes. When you decide, after considering After fantasizing so, you done got up, you're fantasizing, and you're saying, boy, I'm dead. I'm dead to this, I'm dead to that. Now, it's been my pattern. I know it. I don't have to keep repeating. It's implanted in my mind now. I'm dead to this stuff. I've been struggling with this all week, but I'm dead to this. But I'm dead to this, and I'm dead to that. And I'm dead to the other. He says, now I will begin in the mind that you have started to do, the habit that you have started, to renew the mind so that what you was traumatic now becomes more and more natural. You're going to find it more and more natural. The more we do it, the easier it becomes. Now, let me ask a question. Another question.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't think I'm confused, but maybe I'm a little confused. Maybe I don't really understand. So I want you to help a brother out.
Okay.
Help me out. When you took the shower,
okay,
this morning, will that be good for you until next Sunday? I don't want to assume, because maybe your soap is different than my soap. Maybe your soap will keep you smelling good from this Sunday to next Sunday. And you are going around, I don't think I'm going to make it to Monday. Smell good all week long because you just had a good shower today. I don't think so. Believe me. Well, I'll drop that. You're going to shower every single day because you want to be clean every single day. But a lot of folk think because they took a bath at church on Sunday, that means you got the word on Sunday. They received the word on Sunday. They heard the word on Sunday. And they think now, some folk think they took a bath on Sunday, and that's going to keep them clean until next Sunday. Man, if you don't take the word that you heard today, that did you good today, that healed you today, that saved you today, and you don't keep it every day of the week, you're not going to keep the mind of Christ. You will begin to act the way you used to act because you're thinking the way you used to think, and you're not getting a signal from on high because you have refused. God cannot send us receiver to a receiver that don't work, to a brain that don't work. It don't work that way. Every day you get up, you got to set the clock to wake up, to have a funeral in order to declare yourself to be dead to that which is outside of the will of God. And then after that declaration, you take off the old clothes, okay? You got the old clothes off. You pick up one way we can start with the computer. You tell a computer, because some people use the computer for other than whatever. Start with the computer. I'm going to look at you today and declare you, I consider you dead with regard to that which is outside of the will of God. Mouth, you're not going to use profanity anymore, because I declared you dead. You shower yourself, confessing that, inviting heaven's viewpoint into your life. You declare what you're going to do. I'm going to speak righteousness. I'm going to speak peace. I'm going to speak the will of God. You put on new clothes, and then God begins to kick in and switch and shift the mind that was over time, that you had, he's going to shift that mind that you were over time that you were controlling. He is no longer controlling. You are no longer controlling it because he is, because of what we did, we adopted a new way of thinking. We adopted a new way of life. We have adopted a new perspective on life. See, this thing is an everyday thing. That's why I'm not saying you're not, just because you God, you say, I gave my life to Christ. And I'm not saying you're not saved today, but God can't how can he be saved and not keep your mind open to the ways of God without reverting to what you used to be? It's not going to work that way, saints. If you had a word and you came, let's say you come up for your healing and you gave a testimony before you left, God has taken this thing away. And you get right out there Monday, and the devil says, you ain't been healed. If he gave you a word that you're healed, don't you know you're healed when you feel like it or not? You are healed. And the only reason that pain or that ache reoccurred is because you opened the door and says, maybe God didn't do it. Whatever we get on Sundays, we got to keep it every day of the week. See, God, it says time and time again, God is going to do something in this place. He's already started a good work in this place, but it's more he wants to do. It's more he wants to do with you. And once he gets us as a congregation where he wants us, then we can heal the rest of the world. Then people will come in. If they heard, I heard about what's going on over there. Then he come in. And that's where your wheelchair is going to be collected on one side. Your canes and your walkers going to be on one side. God is going to do it because he said so. Hallelujah. Not my God.
Hallelujah.
God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. Now, you're leaving here with what I started with. You know, I told you I gave the end to the in the beginning. This is where today we're going to give glory with raised hands high, because at the point of our lives that we are living now, we got it all together. Remember, I told you that. We got it all together. We started walking with God at a whole nother level. We started to experience his power, doing his will, fulfilling his purpose, and engaging in his priorities. As a result of doing that, we saw the presence, his presence, and his power. His handiwork moved in our different portions of our existence in a marvelous way. That's where we're starting off with. Don't leave out of here. What time is it? Don't leave out of here and before 12 o'clock, you don't think about this again. You think you've been washed whiter than snow. If you receive this word, you have been washed whiter than snow. Don't go out there and get dirty. Bringing back the old mentality.
That's right.
God says, even though you came up rough, even though your parents did that, your parents did that, your parents said this, they neglected you, I don't care what happened, God has taken care of that today. It's up to you to keep it. He said, he know you're going to be feeling bad and you think about it every now and then, but says, this when you start to think about it, says, those old things, that old life, I consider it dead. And going on thinking God kind of things. Things. See, I don't have to need call nobody up for prayer today. Because God said, didn't tell me to. He says, if they received my word, they got my word. And it's hidden in their heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's praising. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word today. Lord, I thank you for blessing me enough to be thanking enough for me to use my voice to talk to your people, Lord. Father, I thank you, Father, that what you have already done. I thank you for what you just done. But Father, I thank you mostly for what you're going to do with these loving bunch of Holy Ghost-filled people. Amen. People that you saw fit to wash whiter than snow, knowing you know already what they're going to do. They're going to depend and lean on you. So when you hear that still small voice, they know exactly how it's from you. And only your sheep know your voice. They know how to direct themselves. Father, because you sit high and you're running our life down here, Lord, showing us and teaching us where to detour, Lord, where to keep straight, what to do, how to move, what to say, what to think, Lord. And Father, for this, I give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' precious and most holy name, let us shout hallelujah! Hallelujah. Good.